This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a new study suggests local roads in Wisconsin aren't getting the money and attention they need and are dramatically declining in quality.
First, on Friday night, former Olympic athlete and reality TV star Bruce Jenner put a spotlight on a national conversation about gender. In an exclusive interview with ABC's Diane Sawyer, Sawyer asked him if he's a woman.
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman. People look at me differently. They see you as this macho male, but my heart and my soul and everything that I do in life, it is part of me. That female side is part of me. That's who I am.
The interview has sparked a lot of discussion and questions about transgender people. Laurie Cook-Daniels joins us now. She's the Policy and Program Director for FORGE, a national organization for transgender people and their significant others, friends and family members, headquartered in Milwaukee. Laurie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So even after Bruce Jenner's interview, a lot of people are still a bit confused about what exactly it means to be transgender. So let's start there. What does it mean to be transgender?
What it means to be transgender is that who you know yourself to be is not what people expect or what you, and it may not be what you look like. So, for instance, my father wanted me to be a lawyer, and I looked and looked and looked, and there was no lawyer inside me. So we all have expectations of what someone should be, but sometimes that expectation is not what they feel is the truth.
So in this case, Bruce Jenner may present to the world like a man, have the biology of a man, but he identifies as a woman. Is that right?
That's correct.
And the issue of pronouns is something that comes up in this interview. Bruce Jenner said people should use the pronouns he and him. Is that typical of someone who's transgender?
That is the part of Bruce's story that is fairly unusual. Most of the time when a person has been assigned a male at birth like Bruce and decides that they really are a woman, most of the time they use the pronoun she and use a feminine name. And I expect that Bruce will probably do that further on. What makes him a little unusual is that he's continuing to use Bruce and he. But since what we all want is to be respected for who we are, the respectful thing at this point is to continue to call him Bruce and he, just as like he asked.
Well, this interview with Diane Sawyer, it seemed as though it had the potential to be a big moment for transgender people in American culture. What did you think of that interview?
Well, I thought it was a great interview. It is extremely unusual. I don't know that there's any precedent for giving a trans person 2 hours to talk about their identity and their history. And so that was unprecedented and really, really quite wonderful.
And what do you think the public transitioning of someone like Bruce Jenner, so very much in the public eye thanks to his association with the Kardashian family, what does this have the potential to do for the transgender community?
Well, I know what it has done already, which is that we have collected reports from across the country of trans people getting calls and letters and emails from family members and friends who had written them off when they first came out, saying, now that I've seen Bruce, I understand better. I'd like to talk to you again. So Bruce's interview is mending a lot of broken relationships, and I can't think of anything better than that.
You use the term coming out, which is a term that I've heard before for when people come out as gay or lesbian. So I guess it's also appropriate in this case.
It is appropriate because when you come out as gay or lesbian, you're saying to people, this is who I am. And that is exactly what Bruce is saying. Bruce is saying, I am internally a woman.
Now, some media outlets like Time Magazine, for instance, have suggested that we might be at a transgender turning point. Allure Magazine featured a transgender actress. Vogue profiled its first ever transgender model recently. How significant is just the sheer visibility factor right now for the transgender community in raising awareness and maybe changing things?
Well, I have been doing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender advocacy for 40 years now. And the amount of change and public visibility and policy changes that are happening around transgender people at this point in time, I think is unprecedented. I don't think we've ever had a stigmatized minority in U.S. history that has moved so far so fast. It's extremely exciting.
We're talking to Laree Cook Daniels right now about transgender people. This all tied to Bruce Jenner's interview last Friday night with Diane Sawyer about being transgender. And let's talk a little bit about this process of transitioning, which I gather is what Bruce Jenner is going through. What happens when someone transitions?
Well, not every transgender person does transition, so we should explain that first. Sometimes people are happy just saying, you know, this is who I am inside, and I don't need to make any changes in who you see out in the world. Most often, though, people do make some physical changes, which could be as simple as changing their clothes or changing their hairstyles. Other times, people do much more in terms of changing their how they look, including, for instance, using hormones and or having surgery.
So is this the right word for what's happening in this case with Bruce Jenner?
Well, Bruce was a little discreet about exactly his process, his physical process, but it does sound like he's using hormones. It does sound like he's had a couple surgeries, probably facial surgeries, and is contemplating genital surgery. So in that sense, it is fairly consistent with what a lot of people do.
So it sounds as though there are some typical things that happen, but that every transition unfolds differently according to that person.
Absolutely. That is true of everything, that we may go through similar patterns, but we're all going to be unique and we're all going to do it our own way.
Does age play much of a factor in this?
Well, I founded the Transgender Aging Network in 1998, so I've done almost 20 years of working with transgender people who transition in mid or late life. And what I heard from Bruce's story was very common to me, which was that he did start trying to transition or to live as a woman earlier in adulthood and gave it up in order to protect his family from what he felt might be very difficult. And then later on decided, no, I can't do this anymore. I need to be who I am. I only have a certain amount of time left. And that is a common story for transgender people who do wait until mid or later life.
Now, one thing that the interview didn't go deeply into this, but I gather has been a topic in the past in different transgender instances in the public is the relationship between sexuality and gender. Now, is it right to bundle them into one, or are they separate things?
Well, they are separate things, but it's the way that our language is shows how much gender is a part of so many different things. For example, a lesbian and a heterosexual may both be attracted to women, but we would label one a lesbian if it was a woman, and we would label the other one a heterosexual man if it was a man. So the attraction is still to women, but what you have with someone like Bruce Jenner is we got to change our language because our language is dependent on whether Bruce is seen as a woman or as a man.
Here's a clip of Bruce responding to Diane Sawyer asking him if he's a lesbian.
You're going back to the sex thing, and it's apples and oranges. There's two different things here. Sexuality is who you are personally attracted to, who you, you know, turns you on, male or female. But gender identity is how to do with who you are as a person and your soul and who you identify with inside.
You know, it's interesting hearing him talking about that. As a general rule, it seems as though it's comforting to put people into categories. We like to ask exactly what's going on with people to put them in the right category and to move on, but it seems as though maybe part of this whole journey with transgender awareness is realizing that some things are more fluid and that maybe there are not always easy categories.
Well, I think things are more fluid than many people would think. For instance, many of the spouses of transgender people do in fact stay with them through the transition and after, which makes them, in essence, switch their sexual orientation. I mean, they are now with the opposite gender of who they were originally attracted to. So I think that that also shows there is some fluidity.
We're talking right now to Laree Cook Daniels about transgender people tied to Bruce Jenner's interview Friday night with Diane Sawyer about being transgender.
And we're taking your calls now. What questions do you have about being transgender, transgender identity? Are you trans or are you close with someone else who is? What is it like to be transgender? Call in and share your questions, maybe your experiences or those of your family. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation and get to your calls in a minute. Right now, a check of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst from WPR News.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our discussion now with Laree Cook Daniels with Forge, a transgender advocacy organization. We're talking about what it means to be transgender in light of Bruce Jenner's interview Friday night on his decision to go public with being transgender.
We're taking your calls now. Are you transgender yourself? Do you know someone else who is? Someone close to you? A friend? A family member? What is it like? What is it like to be transgender or the friend or partner of someone who is? Do you have questions about what this is all about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers now. We have Jacqueline with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. I am trans. I've been out for a couple decades. I was married, divorced when I came out. Times were quite a bit different back then when I came out. There was no tolerance for trans. And for being gender fluid, there was zero tolerance even within the trans community. But one of the comments I would make, you were talking about sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who have been divorced, it's a very lonely existence because very few people are interested in dating trans. Lesbians really aren't interested in dating a trans woman. Gay men aren't interested. Straight men aren't interested in dating a trans woman who's sexually attracted to men. It's can be very lonely. And you're often judged solely based on what you are, a trans. They never look below the skin at who I am, what my interests are besides being trans.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for those thoughts. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your experience with us, Jacqueline. And, you know, he was talking about the loneliness factor there, and that's something that Bruce Jenner said, that it was lonely, that it was he was a lonely child and a lonely adult now. Is that something that people have to grapple with when they're dealing with transgender issues, Laree?
Well, I think it depends a lot on who you are. I think some people can hold secrets or know something about themselves that they're not sharing and be able to relate to people pretty well. Other times I do, in fact, see that when people are holding their identity inside, that their relationships are rather fragile and because they're holding people at arm's length. They're not being who they are, and that can affect how deep those relationships can go. And I think for trans people who are single, dating is a little bit more difficult because most people are still not aware of trans people and still think it's kind of strange, and do I really want to date someone who's trans? I think that will go away as society becomes more aware of trans people among us.
Jacqueline, thanks for that call. We're going to go next to Barry joining us in Rice Lake. Hi, Barry.
Hello. My question was that beyond the perception or presentation of how someone wants to represent themselves, what your goal as an organization is for legal change.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Barry. What do you think in terms of legal change, maybe protections in the workplace? Are there goals that the transgender community has high on the list?
Yes, there are definitely goals. And I think that there are the same sorts of civil rights goals that every stigmatized minority has had throughout U.S. history, which is to have the laws all applied equally and to have people treated as they are inherently according to their inherent value as opposed to whatever stereotypes are being projected onto them. So, yes, we want job protections. We want to be able to use the bathroom that fits us. we want to be able to marry our spouses. So it's the same sorts of things that people want across the board.
Barry, thanks a lot for that. We're going to go next to Mallory joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Mallory.
Hi. So I just would like you had been talking about transitioning later in life, and I mean, I'm going to be 30 this year, and I just, like, about a year ago first started going through the whole transition thing, and I mean, one thing that I really deal with is, you know, like, you doubt yourself so much, because, like, it's like, you know that you've always felt this way, but at the same time, you spent so much time, you know, being who you were, and that's a really weird struggle that, like, I mean, I'm in a couple support groups, and most of the people in there are much younger, and they don't have that, you know, like, doubt at all, because it's like, well, as soon as their sexuality started budding, they knew right where they were going. But, you know, someone like me who was raised really Catholic, you know, that wasn't an option when I was going through that part of my life. But, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of older trans people, and, like, you know, they've told me that it's like, yeah, that was pretty normal for my experience. I mean, now it's so different with the internet and everything, you know, like, you can just go find people to be like, you know, like, to give support. I mean, not trying to make it sound like it's easy or anything, but it's just a different perspective.
Got it. Thank you so much for those thoughts, Mallory. And Mallory getting at, in a way, at least for some people, maybe having been brought up in particular circumstances, having to choose, it almost sounds like, between an old version of themselves and this new version. And sometimes it's painful or difficult to make that call.
I think that's true. And I think that's particularly true, as Mallory noted, for I would have thought people older than Mallory. But because they were told for so many decades that is not who you are, you can't possibly be that a lot of them went to the other extreme. So, for instance, with trans people, we have a much higher rate of veterans, military veterans, because particularly the people who felt they were feminine went into the military to try to prove to everyone that, in fact, they were masculine. So that they really went to the extremes of being macho men before they finally admitted it just was not working.
And Mallory pointed to the internet as something that could change things, because you can find people who are like you. You can have someone to talk to and connect with who can maybe mentor you through a process like transitioning or coming out as transgender. Has the internet really changed things?
The internet cannot, the importance of the internet cannot be overstated for the transgender community, because we couldn't find ourselves in libraries. We couldn't find ourselves on TV. We couldn't find ourselves in books. So we were really out there often thinking we were it. We were alone. There was nobody like us. And now with the internet, people with unusual interests, not that this is unusual, but that non-common interests can find other people like them, and it has totally changed the transgender experience.
It's interesting. You just said not that this is unusual. How common is transgender identification in our society?
We do not have any nationally representative studies. The federal government is just beginning to add some gender identity questions into their surveys, so it's going to be several years before anyone can say with any kind of authority what the percentage is. Our guess is it's somewhere between 0.5% and 1% of the population.
I want to talk a bit about family issues and people who are involved in the lives of transgender people. Now, in addition to being in the spotlight himself, Bruce also has a very public family, the Kardashians, a reality TV show. You know, I was struck in the interview when he said, you know, here was this one true story that he felt he couldn't tell in this reality TV show that's been going on for seasons and seasons. And this is the biggest story, in a way, out of that television show. And part of this was the family. He didn't want to hurt his family. What are some of the issues that family members of transgender or partners of transgender people have?
Well, one of them was discussed in the Jenner interview, where there was a discussion about what are your children going to call you? And he said, they're still going to call me dad. That is a family, that is a question that every family has to answer. And the answers could be multiple types of answers. Not everyone decides, yes, I'm still going to be dad, like Bruce did. But that's one of the options, and you've got to negotiate that. In some families, if the trans person is going to try to not be as public as Bruce, they may need to negotiate, what can you talk about in the past, and how are you going to talk about me? For people that have very gendered roles in their families, like fathers do one thing and mothers do another, they may have to adjust, well, is it okay to have a mother that does that? You know, is it okay to have a mother that works on the cars? So there may be a lot of adjustments for family members to work through, just because so much of our society is gendered. It throws up a lot of questions.
Now, in the past, as the gay marriage rights movement advanced, a lot of people pointed to media, to TV shows, for instance, like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, as vehicles that sort of normalized gay people for a lot of America. Do you see that same thing happening with this?
Absolutely. I think we've had a couple of shows recently with transgender characters, but no one had 17 million viewers. Bruce has opened a new door.
And as we watch Bruce Jenner go through this part of his life very publicly with Diane Sawyer, I assume it will become part of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians TV show. What do you hope that people take away from his story?
I hope that what people take away from these stories is that even though these are celebrities on reality TV and are living lives that seem larger than life, in fact, we are all the same kind of human beings, still struggling to live our lives in ways that feel true to who we are.
Laurie, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
That was Laurie Cook Daniels, Policy and Program Director for Forge, a national transgender advocacy organization headquartered in Milwaukee. She was with us to talk about what it means to be transgender after Bruce Jenner's interview last Friday night with Diane Sawyer.